Hi everyone, it's Karen Webster and welcome to Data Drivers, our weekly series where we tell a story about a hot topic in payments, commerce, and retail using three numbers. This week I'm joined by Jaron Waldman, the co-founder and CEO of Curbside. Jaron, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen. I'm excited to be here.
So am I, and the topic that we're going to talk about is something that has clearly gotten a lot of attention in the retail space, and that is buy online, pick up at curbside. So it's a little bit of a play on the acronym, and some very interesting data that I think speaks to the power of that capability when retailers make it available to consumers. So let's dig in. Data point number one, I found really inspiring and particularly compelling for retailers. It's 61%. That's the percent of consumers who are willing to pay more for same-day delivery pickup, which is interesting, I think, because often the driver for this is to avoid shipping fees. So give me the lowdown on this from your standpoint.
Yeah, I think that is a really compelling number, and it plays to something that we've seen, which is the importance of near instant gratification for consumers when they're considering their online purchasing options. So, you know, what we think, and particularly as you're seeing e-commerce move more and more to mobile, so I think, you know, 20% of orders now, 20% of digital commerce volume is done on mobile devices. Mobile places a real premium on getting things done quickly in your life, using your phone to help take friction out of your life. And a lot of consumers don't want to wait for that order to be ready. And one of the big advantages of you know, obviously same-day delivery, but also pickup in store, is that you can get it right away. So even waiting a couple days to get it on Amazon Prime is for many, you know, sometimes it's fine, but for many, many shopping journeys is too long. It is compelling that consumers are kind of expressing a willingness to pay for that kind of immediacy and some gratification.
Do you have a sense of the types of stores and or products for which that is particularly relevant based on feedback from the merchants you work with?
Grocery, for sure. So you see across grocery that not every grocer is charging for pickup, but many are charging a price point sort of between $3 and $8, and that helps subsidize the cost of doing the pick-pack at the store. You know, and grocery orders can be obviously large, so the average items per basket is much higher in grocery than in many other verticals, and the amount of time that the consumer's saving by not going into the store and throwing a bunch of items in their cart, that's just really, really compelling. So I think, you know, if you talk to a number of the leading grocers who are working on click and collect, you know, they'll tell you that, they can charge $5 and they still have more demand than they can meet. So there's a real, in grocery for sure, I think it's very compelling.
So let's talk to another data point, which I wanna see how it relates to pickup at curbside versus pickup in store. And that's 57%. I've seen 60%, but it roughly suggests that that's the percentage of online shoppers who have engaged in that behavior, buy online, pick up in a store. Is that fairly consistent with what you're seeing as well when the consumer isn't necessarily going in the store but getting goods picked up at curbside and actually delivered to their vehicle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to know if the 57% is representative, but one thing I would say is that if, you know, many buy online, pick up in store experiences have been difficult. So there's been quite a bit of friction in the process of checking out, how you check out in the online world, and then knowing what to do when you get to the store. And oftentimes, the, you know, there's a pickup counter that's inside and it's combined with customer service lines. So you have people who are returning items and you wait in these long lines inside. And by the time you get to the front of the line to get your order, they don't know who you are and they run back and get it and then pull it out. And there's just a ton of, you know, the experiences haven't been optimized. You know, if you go across the top 20 U.S. retailers, for those that have it, the experiences can be really, really difficult. And that's one of the problems that we're really working closely with some great retailers to solve at curbside. But I think that what we definitely see is that when you put a seamless curbside pickup or in-store pickup in place, which where the online side of the experience is really married to a good experience in store, and there's an attention to detail across the consumer's journey, because many times it'll be segmented where you've got one team that's working on the online side and you've got a stores team which is doing the in-store side, so the messaging across those two pieces isn't always consistent. When you get all that stuff right, what we see is that repeat rates go way up, and you know, so you can get people to try it, and when they try it, they love it. It's sticky, and they come back.
Interesting.
And I think we're in the early, you know, despite obviously having years of omnichannel investment, you know, 5 years or 10 years of investment at major retailers, I think we're still in the kind of early stages of building out experiences in the retail industry which work for the consumer, which are done consumer-centrically, and that journey, when it's thought through in the right way, it definitely pays off.
Do you have a sense of whether the store operations for curbside versus in-store pickup are more or less challenging? I don't know exactly what that question means specifically, but is it easier to organize a curbside type of an experience than an in-store experience from your working with the various retailers that you're currently working with?
I would say on balance it is easier. There's obviously challenges with both, but one of the hard things about in-store pickup is a lot of retail environments are visually very noisy. So when you go into the store, you're being bombarded with messages from all sides, and it's not obvious, you know, where you should go inside the store to get your stuff. So, you know, sort of in-store signage and messaging is a challenge. And then having dedicated people at a desk waiting, you know, sort of sitting there and waiting is only makes sense for certain category, very large boxes, I would say, certain categories of retailers. The nice thing about curbside pickup and the way that we've partnered with, you know, CVS and Sephora and others is that you can have staff who are really doing other things, and when the customer pulls up outside, we're reliably giving them a notification to the store employee that the customer is out front, and so they can switch tasks, they can break off what they're doing, you know, maybe stocking shelves or whatever they were up to. Grab the order, walk out, meet the customer, and then the customer's off and on their way. So it's a fairly simple process, and it's in some ways is operationally less complex or more cost effective, I would say, than dedicating folks to sort of be sitting there at all times waiting for a customer who might be lost inside the store.
Let me ask you another question. You mentioned it's sticky, and that's obviously quite important, particularly as retailers are feeling the competition from so many others, including Amazon, as you referenced. But one of the reasons that buy online, pick up in store is appealing, despite the frictions that you described, is that sometimes consumers spend more money when they're meandering around the store looking for fulfillment, or realize that they love to have those matching shoes to the dress that they're going to pick up. So basket size increases. Is there a similar phenomenon with curbside that you've observed?
Yeah, there's a couple really interesting observations that we have so far. And you know, number one is just that having a curbside pickup program in place increases frequency. So the offset in basket size isn't as large as you might think, and the increased frequency of placing orders means that the overall spend of the customer, and we've done this by benchmarking pre-post spend with a number of our retailers. So what was the customer spending before a curbside pickup program went in place? And then, you know, 6 quarters in, what are they spending across their in-store, their online, once there is a curbside pickup? And the answer is that they're spending, you know, 25% more. So it actually lifts spending, even if the per trip basket size is slightly lower. So that's one thing. The other thing, and this is where it gets really interesting and brands come into play, is that when you order, you know, for click and collect, between the time that you as a consumer place the order and when you come to the store to get it, that's a really interesting window, right? So there's a duration of time, because a lot of times what we see with curbside pickup is somebody might be, you know, in bed on their mobile phone at night and they're thinking about what they have to do their next day, and they'll get on and place that order. And they'll not pick it up until 4 o'clock, you know, the next day after they're on their way home from work. And in that window of time, what you have is a consumer who's declared a very strong intent to come to the store, you know, the next day. And you have a window of time in which you can potentially suggest, companion products, make very targeted offers. And so what we've done is started to treat that curbside pickup essentially as an open bag, if you will, where you could keep adding items onto it. Whether we prompt you or you say, oh, I needed to get, I need to get bread with that peanut butter, and you go in and you add it into your order. And that's an opportunity for brands and for retailers that I think with delivery you don't really have, because when you place that order for delivery, it's really locked into the logistics chain at that point, and it's just sort of unchangeable.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you whether any of this capability was tied to other promotions or loyalty efforts, and what you just described is clever. I mean, I guess you don't really literally keep the tab open, but it's easy to continue to add to the order, which
that's
is,
right, yeah.
Which is very convenient. Yeah. Interesting. Great. Okay, so let's talk about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It manifests as a second order, but we want to think about it from the customer's point of view. Is virtually it's sort of the same thing. It's I have this pickup that I'm going to do, and I can keep adding to it up until the last minute.
That's neat. I think that's very clever. So let's talk about the third data point, which is something also related to sticky or not, which is often the case with checking out online, whether it's on desktop or mobile, and that's data points 2 and 9, which you say, based on your data, is the multiple beyond which you say you outperform conversion benchmarks when people are placing an order. So 2x the industry benchmark for desktop conversions, and really an interesting 9x beyond industry benchmarks for mobile, both of which are tough environments to get the consumer to actually finish without abandoning their cart. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, and we're starting with a low bar here. I think that conversion across the industry is it's a real challenge, and I think there's mainly two reasons. And we spent a lot of time thinking and applying design principles to the white label e-commerce product that we offer. So we make a very smooth shopping cart, browse, search, checkout experience, which our partners can take and embed into their experiences. And I think, so part of it is just the design and the real careful attempt to take all the friction out of that process, one-click checkout, make it really, really easy. A lot of times, particularly on mobile, you've seen retailers who deploy something that was designed as a desktop experience that's just sort of retrofit to a mobile device, and that doesn't work. So that's one part of it. But I think the bigger aspect of it is that you know, for a bricks and mortar retailer who's doing e-commerce in particular, that there's not a compelling offering on mobile or desktop necessarily when shipping from a warehouse or a distribution center. Just simply because, to sort of call it the elephant in the room, Amazon is so good at what they do. So unless a retailer has some very specialized inventory that's not offered on Amazon, a lot of consumers can go into the experience and, you know, shop around and then say, well, you know, either I've already got my whole account set up on Amazon, or I trust their fulfillment, or I can get a better price, et cetera. And so there's not always a ton of compelling reasons to stay in. The difference for curbside pickup is that speed. So that you can order it and have it ready in under an hour. You know, so order it from work and pick it up on your way on your commute home. That is really compelling. And so I think that's what's driving the conversion, is just that retailers with bricks and mortar stores have the opportunity to offer something which, you know, even the fastest shipping options from pure play e-commerce can't match. You know, we see median order ready times that are down, you know, around 40 minutes between when you place the order and when it's ready to pick up. And that, the faster that we work with our partners to make that quicker and quicker, the more compelling it is. And we know that because it converts better, and we know that because it's stickier. So more and more people come back and they use it more often because they kind of work it into their lifestyle. Right. So I think that's what's driving that.
Well, you also don't have to put in your shipping information, which takes time. I mean, that's a pain unless you're a regular customer, and that's one of the drivers of abandonment. Too much information, too many clicks to get on the way out. But let me ask you about a question in terms of where this is appropriate. So, you know, I'm looking at, you know, a shopping mall where it's easy to pull up and in front of the store. But, you know, I live in Boston. And it's a pain to find a place to park on Newbury Street if you're shopping at one of the stores there. Even some of the grocery stores, it's very, very challenging to actually find a place. You can't even double park. Is an urban environment apropos for something like this? And have you found that retailers are attracted to this as an option as a way to create convenience for their consumers?
Yeah, it's done well in urban areas. I think there can be sort of physical constraints in some really dense urban areas. Manhattan, parts of Boston would apply to that. Downtown San Francisco, where, you know, certain stores there's really not even a place where you can pull in and stop. And so that can be a challenge. But the vast majority of locations, those sort of on the ground logistical challenges can be figured out. But to be honest, I mean, the absolute home run out of the park locations for us in terms of geography from what we've seen have been suburban areas. So that's where people are, you know, everybody's commuting. Everyone's got the stores along the kind of main streets that they're traveling to get to work, to get home, to pick up the kids, et cetera. And it just seems to be really well suited to that. And we obviously, you know, we're big believers in that, and we know, you know, most of America is suburban, so that's going to be the majority of shoppers. And we think, and we call the companies curbside, so obviously we believe in the concept, and we think it's actually the sort of mass mainstream behavior as e-commerce goes mobile. Once you connect mobile to stores in the right way, the economics of that work really well. They work well for retailers and they work well for consumers as you scale it out. And you know, those dense urban areas, really interesting for same day delivery. Curbside pickup can work, but average incomes are higher, and there's just a mix of factors where, you know, like in Manhattan, everyone gets everything brought to them all the time, from what I can tell, and it's been working that way for 50 years, and it's always going to be that way, but you can afford to do that if you can afford to live in Manhattan, right, I think.
Yeah, no, I see so many double-parked cars up and down Newbury Street and Charles Street as people are have given up on finding a place to park, but you know, can't necessarily navigate their way to getting whatever it is they need to pick up, whether it's the dry cleaning or something that they've ordered from one of the boutiques on the strip. So I, you know, just of course, always thinking about my own needs. Just wanting to make sure
we'll
keep that in mind.
Okay. Yep.
Just put that on your product roadmap. Beacon Hill, yeah. Boston, Berry Street.
Totally. We curbside everywhere. Well, that's our motto.
Curbside everywhere. Well, listen, Jaron, it's been fascinating to understand your business by the numbers. I mean, clearly it's a service that consumers want, they're willing to pay for it, and retailers are eager to respond because they want the stickiness and the frequency that you suggest they're able to get as a result of being a part of your platform. So thanks for sharing your story today through numbers that are really quite compelling.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for all the thoughtful questions. Really had a good time. Thank you.
Thank you. I did too. Look forward to seeing you again and talking to you soon. And everyone who joined us today, thanks for your time. Have a great week, and we'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.